This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Wes Durham is back from Little John Coliseum, I-85. Chester's sound asleep. Fuller's leaning on my man. Captain Ron's here with the drones. Robert's rocking. Otto has got a head start because Mrs. P's already left the building. We are ready to roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, fair warning. We are 24 hours away from Mark Packer's triumphant return to the Greensboro Coliseum.
Ooh, yeah.
And the shoe blimp. Just fair warning.
Gentlemen sent me a picture yesterday that attended the first day of the ACC Women's Tournament and said, Pack, just for you, here is a photo.
And it was there.
It was there. I was so fired up. That was one of the best news of the day yesterday. The blimp is back, and so are we.
Yep.
Beginning tomorrow morning.
We'll be there at 7 o'clock inside the Greensboro Coliseum. Our coverage, our exclusive morning coverage of the Atlantic Coast Conference Women's Basketball Tournament.
Had a gentleman send me a note this morning. He said he'd like to deliver a gift. I said, we will be there bright and early. Mm-hmm. We appreciate any and all gifts, especially if it's something you can eat.
Couple things.
Is it, by the way, catered tomorrow for us on the road, or is that, how's that work?
You know what? It's been so long since we've done something like this.
Oh, we never go on the road.
Right. Well, we were last in Raleigh.
Right.
Thursday of opening day of the ACC season.
And I'm not sure it was catered because Dave Dorn was kind enough to bring pancakes for us.
Yeah, and you guys, you and Macri couldn't find your way in the building.
No.
So that was an issue.
That was a problem.
I bring you greetings and salutations from Little John Coliseum.
Saw part of your game last night.
I ran into the big man from Anasan.
Cobb Oxford.
There last night.
Lovely.
Met
wife,
Cobb's
Denise,
better half. Absolutely.
Denise.
She's fantastic.
Yeah. Classic.
Put up with a lot of stuff on Netcat,
ain't
right?
No doubt.
Yeah.
You had a good game too, didn't you?
We did have a nice game.
Crazy game.
Bob McAnally was there last night.
Yep.
Retiring at the end of the last night was his either last or second to last basketball game.
How about that?
Yeah, from Seneca. Been a long time, as you know, media type guy there on Clemson's campus. Yeah. Great to see him.
Good dude.
He expressed greetings and salutations to you.
You know, it's funny. Every time you get the chance to go on the road, which is a lot, you always come back and go, man, people are always asking.
Yeah. Nobody mentioned, though. I'm sorry to report that nobody mentioned any heightened expectations about Friday, May 13th, and the ACC Rowing Championships there.
Well, because we haven't heard anything back from the suits. I mean, we proposed that idea, 3 months ago? And here we are on March the 3rd. I've not heard anything, an update on that.
So, anyway, just thought I'd share that with you. But otherwise, a lot of greetings, a lot of salutations, a lot of people, you know, hope you're doing well, that kind of thing. And
wellness program, man. I was out about me. It's perfect yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought about maybe doing 2 laps.
Why not? Yeah. Get after it.
I am getting after it.
Yeah, you are. No question.
Feeling good about it.
All right. Full night of ACC basketball.
Good. We have some storylines that emerged last night.
Yep. Sure did. Let's start in Winston-Salem, shall we?
Sure. Whatever you want.
With the Swiss.
Whatever you want.
Alondis Williams, really in a quest to win the scoring and assist title and become the first player in ACC history to do it. Last night, 17 points, half dozen rebounds, 11 assists. Boy, this was a leg crosser in the second half, wasn't it?
You put 60 points in a half. Chester and Fuller play better defense than that. 60 is what Wake put on NC State in the second half last night. 60.
And Robert,
we only played 20 minutes.
And by the way, Robert, if you hung around to the very end, we may have to go to the foul video from last night. Robert McCray had a dunk at the end of the game for Wake Forest. Pretty solid. It might be better than the Ernest Ross dunk maybe at the Virginia Tech NC State game earlier
one.
Here in Blacksburg.
That was a great
one. Of course, Blake Wesley had one last night in Tallahassee, too.
We'll get to Florida State here because Notre Dame fans are hating life this morning.
All right, 13th ACC victory of the year for Wake Forest, tying the 2002, 2003, and 2004-05 teams for the best mark in ACC play. Not a great night. Laravia, foul trouble. Finished, I think, with 8. Demon Deacons, Pack told you, 60-31. Outscored them. Wake had 60% from the floor in the second for the second time in the season. 37% from 3. There's McCray. 101-76 the final. Deeks finished the regular season. They are done 13-7. And they'll stand right there, and they are outside the double bye.
Well, the double byes are done. Mm-hmm. There's no drama at all. Zero drama on the ACC men's side with the double byes, because we'll get to Miami taking care of business last night. What a year, though, for Wake, right? 13-7. They'll look back at that Miami game, the second one they played, where they blew the big lead in the second half. Mm-hmm. That one's going to come back to haunt them. The Clemson game will come back to haunt them.
Right.
Because that's going to be the difference between being off for 2 days as opposed to having to play. But you know what?
Yeah.
The Deeks are balling, man. So, hey, you're going to go have to play another additional game. But the thing that jumps out at me, we'll talk about Alondis Williams. You know, he's got the scoring lead. Buddy Boeheim has a chance to catch him Saturday. If he puts up 30 or more, Buddy Boeheim will be the scoring leader.
All right. Connor O'Neill, Elon grad, who writes for Deacon Illustrated and covers the ACC, last night, the 30 points is what Buddy Boeheim needed, and Reese Beekman needs 17 assists or in that neighborhood. So I think, as Connor noted last night on Twitter, the assist deal is probably pretty safe. Now, Buddy Boeheim can go get 30.
I had no question about that.
And that is Miami coming in there on Saturday.
All right. So, you know, that there's some drama from that perspective when we start talking about player of the year.
Right.
I think maybe a better conversation will be for coach of the year. And Wake Forest did something last night that's never been done in this league. The difference between the number of ACC games they won last year and this year is 10.
Mm-hmm.
That has never been done before.
Right.
So when you figure that Wake was picked 13th by the media, granted they didn't get the double bye, but the job Steve Forbes has done this year for Wake Forest, spectacular. I mean, plus 10 in the win column in 1 year. And before this season started, we were like, man, who's on Wake's roster? I mean, you talk about an undertaking. Who are all these transfers? Where are they? Who is this LaRavia dude from Indiana State? Who's this Alondis Williams? I mean, what a brilliant job by Steve Forbes. Now, granted, I know Wake Forest fans are going to be bummed out with that double bye, but, man, you have got to embrace what has been really a tremendous year for Wake Forest and all of athletics, but basketball in particular. Plus 10 in the ACC win column. Again, when we get into ACC Coach of the Year, you know, you can go Mike Bray, you can go Larinaga, you can go Coach K if you want. But, man, how in the world do you say no to Steve Forbes for that job? I'm just saying. That's spectacular.
By the way, the 10-game swing going up has probably likely never happened.
I just said that.
Right. The 10-game swing down has happened.
Right. Well, that's irrelevant in this conversation.
That is, right. No, I'm just saying that's what makes the other way really impressive.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Steve Forbes, when you get into the ACC Coach of the Year, we can talk about Alondis Williams may very well be the only guy ever in this league.
Correct.
To have a leading scorer and assist leader. But nobody, think about all the great coaches in this league. Of all time.
Yeah.
No one has gone plus 10 in 1 year. Steve Forbes is the first. Pretty strong.
Yep. Let's take you to Greensboro for opening day of the ACC Women's Basketball Tournament. Clemson started the afternoon. They beat Syracuse 88-69. Delisa Washington, 33, just in case you need to make sure she was okay.
She can score.
Oh,
she was your offensive player of the month of February.
Sure
and
was.
Here we are in the March, and she's still rocking it.
Yep. Duke a winner, 55-52. Carol Lawson at the ACC tournament a win in her first
game. Had to rally, though. It did not look good at halftime. Pitt was comfortably ahead, and Duke, to their credit, comes back and gets a really, really important win.
Yep. So then the final game, 61-53. Wake Forest beat Virginia. Christina Mora, who joined us in October at the tip-off, a double-double for Jen Hoover's team. So congratulations to the Deacons. And here is day two. Starts off at 11 a.m. this morning, Clemson and Kenny Brooks and Virginia Tech are there. Then at 2 o'clock, Boston College, Florida State. Miami and Duke, 6 o'clock at the Coliseum in Greensboro. And then Georgia Tech and Wake Forest, late night. Followed by nothing but net, but all those games on the ACC NX. And then tonight you'll get the recap from Kelsey Riggs and that crowd from Greensboro. Nothing but net late night tonight on a Thursday from Greensboro.
Two things, ladies. Clean up. Make sure the set's nice and clean for us to get there Friday morning. And number two, be sure there's extra helium for the blimp, because I want to fly that sucker tomorrow. I do. You're over there laughing. You don't think I want to.
Oh, I know it's going to be. I mean, I'm already there on the blimp.
You should be prepared by now.
Oh, I know it's going to happen.
You were nervous, too, the first go around. Like, oh, my God, Packer's going to knock this thing into the scoreboard. There's going to be an explosion, and they're going to have to shut this thing. No. I got it.
No.
Don't worry about it.
At this point, my concerns are a thing of the past.
There you go. Put it behind you. Yeah. You'll be all right.
All right. Special congratulations.
It's just like what Vic Bubas said about Carolina. You know?
What's
don't
that?
Worry about 8 miles down the road.
Respect 8 miles down the road.
Don't
worry about you. Respect you.
That's right.
Don't worry
about me. Just
I've never worried about you. Fear might be a better word. Special congratulations this morning to Virginia Tech's Elizabeth Kittley and Virginia Tech's Justin Mutz. They are the recipients of the Kay Yao and Skip Prosser Awards. Accordingly, which recognize excellence from ACC basketball student athletes. These are the Scholar Athlete of the Year honors, and they're presented annually by the league. And our special congratulations, pair of Hokies capturing those honors.
That is strong, impressive. We've had both of them on the show, and man, the way they handle themselves, not surprising, right?
Right.
Just first class people, and not to mention terrific players.
No question.
Good for them. And, excellent.
Hokies at Clemson on Saturday to close the regular season.
Told you that game, I think it's going to be pretty good.
Virginia Tech Clemson.
Yeah.
I think there's some matchup interest.
I'm not talking about the women's game today.
Oh, the women's game.
I think the Hokies are going to make some noise in the women's tournament.
Right. I believe Virginia Tech Clemson at 11 is going to be really interesting. Absolutely.
You do? Because I think Virginia Tech
can make some noise. Absolutely. I think Virginia Tech needs to get off to the good start, get the tournament. I think they're one of the teams playing today that could invade Saturday and potentially Sunday.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Virginia Tech Clemson men's game Saturday, I think, has a chance.
I do too.
Especially if PJ Hall comes back.
Yeah.
It's a big if.
Yeah. He was in the boot last night on the floor before the game. It was good to see Hunter Tyson on the floor. We'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. I think that in just based on last night and no conversations at all with anybody connected to it.
Do you know anybody there?
I do, but I would say this. I don't know that PJ Hall is any closer to playing than you and I are right now.
Well, hey, I can give you a solid 2 minutes. I can guarantee you that.
Can we go to break?
It's the third time past midcourt that I'm going to be exhausted.
I've just been told it'd be really good if we went to break.
Wow, man, everybody's uptight today. You know what? You know what that tells me?
What?
People getting their little sweaty palms about the blimp tomorrow. That's what that tells me.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Lucky numbers 577. For those keeping score, this time tomorrow we will be in the Greensboro Coliseum, God willing. That's the plan. That is the plan. Everybody's got a plan, Wes.
I also got last night some key information. Apparently, two weeks from tomorrow, we'll be at the Barclays Center. Or a week from tomorrow, we'll be at the Barclays Center. For the Friday morning edition of Packer and Durham at the men's tournament. And there is a Bergen's Bagels right around the corner in Brooklyn.
Not me.
Well, maybe not you, but dozens of other ACC Network folks may be really interested in that.
Okay.
Right around the corner.
Brooklyn's a good place, man. Used to let some old stomping grounds.
Remsen Street, right?
49 Remsen Street.
Yeah, we've already been able to acquire some photos of 49 Remsen Street to show folks.
Old brownstone.
Yeah,
where it all started, my first job out of college.
Right down the street from Dr. Huxtable, it looks like.
Actually, it wasn't far from there.
Yeah, okay.
Montague Street's right next door. Great strip. Great street.
Yeah, it's great.
I'll hook you guys up. If I wasn't there,
we're not going to be there long enough.
We'll be there 11 hours or whatever it's
going to be. So whatever it is. All right, on to the three games last night as well. Miami goes to Boston. Remember now, Rhodey at Boston College, Rhodey at Syracuse to close the regular season. Coach Larinaga and the puffy coat comes in handy here for this trip. Not if you're back here now. You don't need it here. But
Canes had a lot to play for last night.
Sure
and
did.
They took care of business.
And acted like it, right?
Yep.
Jim Larinaga becomes Miami's all-time winningest coach. 221 wins in 11 years, besting the mark by Bruce Hale. The mark stood 55 years back before Miami discontinued their program and then brought it back last night.
What a job he's done
this
year.
Oh, my God. Isaiah Wong, 27 last night. Miami led 37 minutes at Conte Forum last night and made that, I want to say academic, they made it look easy last night.
It was a comfortable win.
Yep.
On the road with a lot riding on. Miami has to have a good week.
Yep.
Big picture. They were in the 60s in the net heading into this game. And the good news is the double bye, right? That's what you're playing for. And so, and again, no drama at all on the men's side. We thought they could come down the last Saturday. It's not going to be the case. You got Duke. You got Notre Dame, North Carolina, Miami. Those are the four with the double bye. And given what happened in Tallahassee, which we'll get to in a minute, Duke wins the outright ACC championship for the first time since 05-06.
Yep. Miami finishes 13-6 with one to go. For the Hurricanes, Jordan Miller, 18 on 8 of 10 from the floor. Don't you get caught up in the Wong and Charlie Moore and McGusty trio, and rightly so, but a guy like Jordan Miller could be a real problem in Brooklyn. He's the kind of guy that can go get you an 18-20-point ball game and be a real factor for them as they move forward. So congratulations to Miami. We told you Wong had 27 to lead the way. Here's the one of the night that probably gives folks a little bit of pause. Florida State beat Notre Dame last night in Tallahassee 74-70. John Butler went for 16. Last time John Butler had a big game was when they beat Duke. Well, Butler last night goes for 16, 8 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Pack Notre Dame, Florida State's length at times last night and their ability to drive it like that, real problem for the Irish, it looked like.
Here's the problem for the Irish. They make threes. Last night, they couldn't throw it in the Atlantic or the Mexico Bay or whatever, the Gulf of Mexico. They didn't make a three second half. 5 of 19 from three.
And meanwhile, Florida State, 12 of 29.
Right. But Notre Dame's bread and butter is making threes, right? We've given you the number. They make 10 or more, man. They're almost hard to beat.
Right.
They put a 5 spot out there. And here's this funky thing again. Notre Dame has yet to beat Florida State in Tallahassee. Since dirt, that's a zero. For the Irish.
We got Blake Wesley's dunk on video, by the way.
It was a good one.
Whoa.
It was a good one.
Whoa.
So let me ask you this, Mr. Durham.
Yes, sir.
Notre Dame, North Carolina now tied 14-5 in the ACC race. We know the Heels have got that little game Saturday night.
Apparently they're going to go through with that, yep.
Big picture for the Irish. I mean, I don't know what the net number is going to do. It's certainly not going to go up. At least I don't think it does with a loss.
Are you saying, are they in? Or
I mean, I think they're in.
They're in. Oh, they're in.
I think they're in.
Notre Dame's in. They're going to finish. I mean, I like them to beat Pitt on Saturday to close the regular season.
I would hope so.
No offense to the Panthers, just where it is. I think Notre Dame 15-5 is in. Pack 15-5.
Yeah, but they're not at 15 yet. They're at 14.
I understand that. They could go 14-6 and they're getting in.
I bet they go 14-7.
A one and done in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Now, tell me who else is not.
I'm just asking a question.
I think
that's why
Notre
I keep saying that you got to keep winning games.
I agree with that, but I think Notre Dame's in. I think Notre Dame is in, even if they go
loss.
Yes, okay. I think Notre Dame's in. Because you get, I mean, the old adage of this, you still got to put 68 teams in the field.
No, I get that.
And Notre Dame's got wins that are, oh, okay, they beat Kentucky. Oh, okay, they beat other competitive teams. Did they lose to Duke in the one and only game? Yes. But, you know, I think North Carolina's going to the tournament. I think Miami's going to the tournament.
I hope we get 5.
Wake Forest is going to the tournament.
Okay. I'm just asking a question.
No, I'm with you on this. I think 5, look.
I don't think anybody can – one of my point with all this is I don't think anybody's really in a comfortable position to stop winning and think they're in.
That's with the exception of the Blue Devils.
Duke's in. I mean, come on. Duke could be a one seed the way people are losing in front
right
of
now.
And the way they're playing. But I'm talking about everybody else. I don't think anybody really is comfortable if you give me I'm going to lose out and still think we're going to roll into the tournament.
I'm with you on that.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
I think Notre Dame's in too. I think North Carolina's in. I think Miami's in. Mm-hmm. And I think Wake's on the good side of being in. Now, can somebody else join the mix? Can Virginia Tech or Virginia go bonkers in the tournament?
Mm-hmm.
They could. Possibility. That's not crazy to think.
No.
That's why Brooklyn's going to be so important. That's why I think Brooklyn's going to be fun to watch. Because I think there's going to be an edginess with a lot of teams that understand, hey, we still have some business to attend to here.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that part. But I also believe, too, I think Notre Dame is one of those teams that Saturday they could lose, and they could lose in Brooklyn. I still think they'd get in.
Well, you lose to Pitt, and you lose to Florida State. That's a lousy week.
Well, sure it is. It just so happens it's at the end of the regular season. It doesn't discount the body of work, I don't think.
Okay.
So,
were you surprised you lost last night? I was.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, surprised they lost. Not surprised it was 4 points. Then when I saw the stats last night
How about when they were leading at halftime? Do you think they're going to lose the game?
Yeah, well, I didn't see. See, the problem was with the game I was doing, I didn't see any of the game until I got back and looked at the numbers. When I saw what they shot from three, I'm not surprised they lost, especially when I saw that Florida State hit a dozen of them.
Yeah, well, 5 of 19, like I said, that is not Notre Dame's style.
Yeah, the ratios for Notre Dame are, and you pointed this out, the ratios for Notre Dame, if Florida State hit 12, Notre Dame's got to hit like 9 or 8.
Well, 10's their number.
Right.
They get the double digits and threes. They're a tough out.
Right, but there are games during the course of the year where they can go sub-10, but it can't be something like 5 and 12. It can't be a plus or minus 7 differential in threes.
I think they've only lost one game off the top of my head. Only one game that they've made 10 or more threes. I think they've won every game but one.
Yeah.
I have to look that up to confirm that, but I think that's the answer.
And I think that's something we need to look at a little bit next week, constituting about who plays who and what's the average number of threes made.
Yep.
A lot of these teams, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, and look, I think the Hokies are really good. I think they're going to be interesting to watch next week in Brooklyn. I think it'll be interesting to watch Saturday at Clemson. But Virginia Tech and Notre Dame are like a volatile stock. They're like a dot-com stock.
How about Syracuse?
Well, there's no question, but that's been the story all year. But Notre Dame and Virginia Tech can still win games without hitting high volumes, but the other team can't run off and hit significantly more. Now, you can say, well, that's the case with every game. But in their case, it also tends to show itself the number that you end up with. Like, the closer they are to 10. Like, if they're at 8 and the opponent's at 11, can they still get away with it? Yes. Not many others can, I think. But these guys can because of how well they shoot it. Just going to depend. I think Notre Dame and Virginia Tech become incredibly resilient, reliant on the three, I should say. As it moves through the tournament. I think that'll really be the case next week.
There are some potentially streaky teams that can cause a problem next week in Brooklyn, in my opinion.
Right. Syracuse, and you're going to hear a lot about
Virginia
Duke,
Tech.
And rightly so, but there are teams that can shoot their way to Saturday or shoot their way to Friday for sure.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah. And we've seen that happen before in the event, and that's part of the reason we gave you the stat earlier this week about the top four in the semifinals.
What's going to be fun next week is that almost every year that I can remember as an adult, and I use that term loosely, there have been so many teams that are locked and loaded for the tournament that we get to Greensboro or we get to Charlotte or we get to Brooklyn or whatever the venue is,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, hey, even if they have an early out, well, they're in. They're still in the tournament.
Right.
This one feels different just because this regular season has felt different.
Right.
Right? We've not had a ranked versus ranked ACC matchup since, 1966-67. So it is a different vibe that teams still have stuff to prove.
Right.
Into a conference. You can't afford we just didn't play well, so we're out of here. You don't want to be that team next week because there's a lot riding on this stuff.
Yeah. Before we get to break, let's take you to Little John last night.
Yeah,
right?
A good game.
Bottom third of the league, and they deliver. These two schools been playing each other since 1913, and a lot of them have been just like last night. David Collins got off to a really hot start last night for Clemson. Georgia Tech led by as many as 13 in the second half, and Chase Hunter struggled to get going last night. Collins did a really good job first half, And then once we got into the second half last night, how about Naz Bohannon? Good for this young man out of Lorain, Ohio, on a transfer from Youngstown State. All of his points in the second half last night, and Clemson comes away with the win, 68-65. Tigers shot 61% in the second half, 14-17 on two-point goals, and Hunter Tyson came back to the fore. Packer was sources yesterday, and Hunter Tyson did come back, contributed in the second half for them.
A little 16-2 run midway through the second half. They go from 13 down to 1 up, and it was back and forth. I mean, you had a great game inside 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Tons of lead changes and who was going to make a shot. But, you know, it's amazing. Those two, whether it be hoops or football, they have crazy weird games.
Yeah.
Both they're normally unbelievably close. A lot of times, tons of surprises, goofy endings.
Yep.
But that Clemson-Georgia Tech thing's real right down that I-85 rivalry between those two.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday.
Gate City tonight now. On the road. We're on the road in the Gate City tonight.
Before, you're going to get a head start.
Dude, let me tell you now. You're big in Greensboro, even though you're a Winston-Salem guy. People in Greensboro want to know where the Pac-Man is tomorrow.
I'm coming eventually. I'll get there late tonight.
Tell you what now. Wait till you get to Cameron on Saturday. Hey, Packer. Yeah, you wait. You're going to get out amongst them now.
I want to.
I know.
I mean, I haven't been in the building since 19-something.
Carlos Boozer thinks it's going to be a big deal. He's there. Telling you what, wait till the Pac-Man walks up there at Cameron outside on that nothing but net stage Saturday.
Wait till I have my Carlos Boozer hat on for the show.
Carlos Boozer will be here at 9 o'clock. Kelly Gramlich, by the way, coming up in 25 minutes. She's in Greensboro setting up the fortress.
Keep it clean.
For the nothing but net people.
Ladies. Seriously.
Lonnie Alameda will be here at 8:30. That's always fun. They are blistering people.
Florida State softball.
They're blistering human beings.
17-0.
And just because we want to calm things down, Rock Harrison at 9:30.
ACC Wrestling.
He'll be fired up. Championships are this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to accounting, shall we?
Let's do it. I got some changes.
Oh, I got a few, too. Here we go. Top three are the same. Miami up one, Wake down one. Then you got Virginia Tech, Virginia, Florida State, Syracuse. Clemson up two, Louisville even, BC one up, Pitt down two, NC State, Georgia Tech stay the same. Now, Miami, Wake fans, here's the story. Miami won both meetings and clinched the double bye.
Right.
That's the logic. That's just the way it is. I'm setting that up because I think that's the way the league will finish, and there we go.
Yeah, I mean, the Swiss can't argue about Miami. I mean, hey, you had two swings and you went whiff. The sweep and the scoreboard is one. If you only played them once and lost, hey, whatever. You can deal with that, but not two times.
And here's the other thing, too. The back end of this, 10 through 15, is a little bit of a mess.
It's whatever. I mean, really, 10 through 15, on a given night, there's really not a whole lot of difference.
Right.
In fact, you saw it last night.
Yeah.
And right there, I mean, Clemson rallied to beat Georgia Tech. I mean,
so
it's no big deal.
There you go.
All right, here we go. Sweet 16. Dukes won. I got North Carolina surplanting Notre Dame.
Wow.
Heels have won four straight, Wes. Momentum late.
Wow.
Now, that could change on Saturday. Notre Dame's favored to beat Pitt. North Carolina's favored to lose to Duke. We could have another flip-flop.
Wow.
I had Miami 4 in the first place. They win. They're a double buyer. Not a whole lot of change there. Florida State gets some love with the wins. Boeheim's, you got a chance to maybe get a scoring title Saturday. We'll see what happens there. Not a whole lot of change, 10 through 15. You are who you are. And number 16, the Sweet 16, Zion's Mardi Gras float. Now, if you've not seen it,
I don't know.
Yourself a favor.
I haven't seen this.
Zion Mardi Gras float. Of course, you had Fat Tuesday party time down there in New Orleans. You can go check that out for yourself. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll look it up and then you'll get a good laugh out of it. There it is. Sweet 16.
Okay. Let's go to the index card while we're here, by the way.
The numbers are updated, and they are accurate. Again, we don't do conspiracies You do.
Didn't really have a index card game last night.
No, they were pretty consistent on the whistles last
night. Okay.
But here are the numbers as we head into the last game of the regular season. Foul margin. Again, negative is good. Negative is good. Positive is bad. Irish looks like they're going to be controlled here and being the number one team in the foul margin department. Pitt, North Carolina Wake. You go down the list. You can see all the negatives, which is a good thing. Georgia Tech, you're going to own dead last here in both categories. Well, maybe not. You'll find out here in a second.
All right.
But there's the foul. Here we go. Free throw attempt margin. This is where people get upset.
Whoa.
I will point out that the top four teams are the four double bye teams. Coincidence? I don't know. I don't do conspiracies. Duke, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Miami. Those are the four that are taking a couple days off in Brooklyn.
I just pointed out,
those
I don't do conspiracies.
Those are the four that are the very top of free throw attempt margins. Duke, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Miami, and perhaps even in that order. Just saying.
You know, I mean... Go
what?
Ahead.
What's your problem?
No, I don't have one.
I don't
one.
Do conspiracy theories.
I've been told, yes.
If you go to the very bottom, negative is bad. The Jackets
the
last
bottom.
Night got out of the triple-digit number.
They did.
Back to double digits, and we may have ourselves a race for dead last. BC is now in the neighborhood.
And who meets on Saturday?
You got
Boston
it.
College visits Georgia Tech. In a free throw attempt margin battle in the index card.
A game within the game, right? That's, again, you're going to watch that game. Just keep an eye on free throw attempts between BC and Georgia Tech. The infamous ACC index card. That's what it is.
We don't do conspiracy theories.
You do.
You do. All right.
Coincidence, though? Top four teams?
You know, I'm going to let you stand over there on that island by yourself.
You've been saying it for years, though. I just give you the numbers. Right. I'm not telling you up from down, bark or bite, true or false. I'm not giving you any of that fill-in-the-blank nonsense. I'm just telling you what the numbers are.
The infamous ACC index card. Top four is the top four, the bottom two are the bottom two, and title on the line Saturday. Who knew?
Get it all over you.
All right. Weekly in Central New York, Jim Boeheim appears on ESPN Radio in Syracuse with Brent Axe, who's joined us several times on the show.
Excellent.
And, yeah, does a Excellent terrific host. Job. Jim Boeheim said in an interview with Brent Axe, although not revealing details, says the school has plans for when he retires as head coach. Boeheim's quote, "There's a plan. I'm just telling you there's a plan." He said the university will decide when to make it public. He expects to have input on the selection of his replacement. Now, all of this has been kind of scurried up, if you will, postscript of the loss to Duke and Mike Krzyzewski's retirement. This speaks to the thing you've talked about, and we've discussed a little bit already at intermittent spots this year, about the landscape shift that's going on in the ACC as it relates to coaching.
Right.
And if you guys have watched the show for any length of time, it's funny. 2 years ago, we were in Greensboro doing the show at the tournament, and David Teal brought this up. And we talked about going at, what were we, day one or day two of the tournament, and David Teal started talking about the landscape of the coaches 70 and Oval, right?
Right.
Williams, Krzyzewski, Hamilton, Larrañaga, Boeheim. Well, we're going to watch this thing play out. One is retired. Another one closes down the shop at the end of this year. That'll leave three guys. So we'll see. It's one of those things. I give Coach Boeheim credit for talking about it. I also give him credit for not telling us what the plan is, because you know what? That's between he and John Wildhack and Dr. Severud, the president of Syracuse.
Right, and he's had such a great run that he should have, I would think, some say-so about, hey, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just, to me, I think he's kind of earned that right. And whenever he decides, hey, I'm done, or Syracuse says, hey, I think we should head in a different direction, they'll figure that thing out. Mm-hmm. I did see Jim Boeheim after the Duke game, and somebody had questioned him about, hey, are you going to be back next year? And he was almost like, excuse me? Like, where'd that come from? And maybe making that statement last night had something to do with the fact that, let me just set the record straight so I'm not asked this stupid question anymore about whether or not I'm coming back next year. Mm-hmm. Hey, I plan on coming back. We've got a really good recruiting class coming in. We have some pieces here that we've got to fill and so forth. But, yeah, I plan on being back. And, yeah, there's a plan. So when Syracuse is ready to roll with that deal, they'll let it go. But Jim Boeheim continues to do his thing, and of course they hope to get hot in Brooklyn next week.
Yeah, they are 15-15 with one to go in the regular season. Here is a quote from Coach Boeheim. At the end of the day, I can promise you I'm trying to leave this program in the best position that it can be in when I leave. I think we will be able to do that. There you go. Now, he said prior to the quotes with Brent Axe that, and again, these are tricky times, and we've gotten into this a little bit about, you know, who has a year left and who doesn't, and the COVID year and the grad year, all the unknowns as it relates to eligibility and who can come back. He said last week he does not expect Buddy and Jimmy to come back. Jimmy could file for an extra year. Buddy would have a year, but he doesn't expect any of that to happen. So, you know, we'll see where Syracuse is. But they have done a nice job recruiting. I don't know the details. We don't follow recruiting. But if he wants the quest to leave it in good hands and leave it in a better spot, then good for him.
Right.
And let's just say this. The man is the face of the building and the program at Syracuse University. You don't stay as long as he has and not be.
Right. I mean, he's earned that right, in my opinion. And, you know, I know maybe the locals are screaming, oh, we're 500, we should be better. Everybody thinks they should be better. So it's just par for the course.
Right.
And I'll be the first one to tell you, I thought they would be better this year. If Jim Boeheim was sitting right here, he would tell you, you know what, I thought we would be a better team, but they still have a chance
right. To
correct a lot of ills next week. They're a dangerous team when they make a ton of shots,
yep.
And they're capable of doing that.
Yep.
And they'll have a good test against Miami this weekend.
I'm absolutely right. And it's one of those things that, you know what, we're going to have to watch it play out just like we've watched these other things play out.
And here's the other thing. Hey, we're in Brooklyn. It's in New York. So is Syracuse. Mm. You know, there should be a great contingent of Syracuse fans in the building, my opinion.
First 2 years there, 17-18, not bad. Not bad. They did pretty well. I would say the Syracuse fans came in. Now, the problem was they were bumped in 17. They had 17, they had a pretty good two or three game set there, two games, I think. In 18, they got bumped early. They won a game and lost a game. So, we'll see what happens this year.
Every year is different.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I think my favorite memory with Coach K is when we were playing at UNC my freshman year. I want to say we were down maybe 17 with about like 3 minutes or so left to go. And in that final timeout, he looked at us and said that we were going to come back and win this game. And everybody believed in him. And from that moment on, we kind of made history.
Maybe 17, maybe 8. We were down, though. I know that much. That was some kind of game, though. That was one of the all-timers.
Yeah. There have been a few of them. Saturday night will be interesting from that perspective. There's all of the things about Saturday night, and then there's the game.
Yeah.
So
remember, it's always about the game.
That's it. So looking forward to being there as part of our wall-to-wall coverage on ACC Network and ESPN as well. All right. Great visit yesterday with Nina King, Director of Athletics at Duke. We covered a lot of ground.
No pun intended. Nina hooked me up on parking.
I'm not sure we've got an official confirmation of that, do we?
I'm just waiting for the address.
Okay.
3 miles away from Cameron.
You're just going to walk over, walk
No,
back?
I'm not going to walk. Her husband's going to take the Ford F-150. We're getting the dog and the two boys, the King boys. We're going to go have a good time in Durham, a little tailgating. I heard her say it. Packing tailgate over at the house.
Let's get to the visit.
Let's do it.
Let's start with really kind of the important stuff first, shall
that
we?
That is important.
Yeah, and so's Coach K's final game and getting ready for that, too.
Saturday will be here before we know it. So many people coming to town for this game. And so we've got some great events and gatherings planned appropriately. Celebrate Coach post-game. It's going to be a zoo around here, but really excited and excited to see you guys here in person on campus on Saturday.
Nina, I want to go to, I remember a year ago in the heat of the COVID and we were doing split shows and Bob Weissman joined us and we were talking about just facilities and operations and how Duke was going to go about conducting some of that. Give us a ballpark here. When Mike Krzyzewski announces his retirement essentially last summer, do you then automatically think, okay, this Carolina game is out there in March, but I know in the athletic world, I've sat in enough meetings on campuses to know that March is like a finger snap away. Yeah. So from almost that point forward, has Saturday kind of been in front of you a little bit as a department?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we can't start planning today for this Saturday, just kind of the historic nature of this game and what it means for our campus. I did see some of our game operations folks that work with Bob Weissman, kind of shining the bronze in Cameron and putting the finishing touches on getting the building ready for Saturday. But this has been a months long process. The operations, the logistics, we've got again, so many folks coming to campus, including people that need extra security and making sure we know where folks are moving around through the building. And so it is really a Herculean effort for mainly Bob and his staff. And to do it, quietly behind the scenes. We don't want folks seeing all of our game ops people running around frenzied. We want to pull this off absolutely seamlessly. And I know we will, because Bob is the very best in the business.
But has anything since you've now taken over the position changed for you in terms of, boy, I really didn't think this would be that big a deal? Or maybe something that you thought was going to be bonkers. Hey, we got this thing under control. Just kind of curious from your position after not quite a year, but where we are, big picture.
All of the above. It's all bonkers. I mean, a week after my appointment to help navigate and execute the Coach K retirement and Shire hire, and then as you mentioned, hiring Coach Elko. And so we had plenty enough going on here at Duke. And then, the college athletics landscape is rapidly changing. The transformation committee at the NCAA level is working to figure out, what we as an organization look like and going into the future. I'm excited about it. We need to be a more modern, nimble organization. And so really looking forward to seeing what the transformation committee puts out there so that we can move forward into the future. But, there are plenty of issues keeping us busy, all of us around the country. It has been quite a year as a first-year AD.
I'm just curious, because Wes and I have debated this. The net, I have no idea how the net works.
Oh, boy.
How much do you put on that? I mean, when that gets kicked around the room, is that a personal preference, or is there like a percentage that you would put on, hey, your net rankings really mean a lot, a little? Overrated? You tell me what happens in that room with the net.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think folks, especially coaches, are kind of still trying to figure out what the net means and how to schedule around it and prepare them, their teams, put them in the best position for March. I will say net is one of 14 different criteria that we look at when selecting and seeding teams. We look at, obviously, win-loss record, conference record, availability of players, which the past 2 years has included COVID impacts. And that's been very interesting to work through. So we've got a list of 14 things, and now you've got 12 committee members in the room. And so everybody kind of places priority differently on those 14 factors, and which is great. I mean, we have a variety of perspectives, and then at the end of the day, we all vote, and the vote comes out with our 68 teams and seated. So the net leads to healthy debate in the room, and we certainly utilize that tool, but it's not the only tool that we use. And I keep trying to stress that with the coaches, that just schedule games. It's about who you play, where you play, and the result of the game.
See, it's just a tool. Jay Billis said it was a blunt instrument. So there you go.
Well, I learned something there. I did.
Great to visit with Nina King. She's terrific. And kind of overseeing a major project on that campus on Saturday.
I mean, you could just tell in her comments that this is an amazing undertaking.
Yep.
And she's going to have a front row seat. And looking forward to hooking up with Rick and the kids.
Yep.
And the puppy who's training. And load them up in the Ford F-150 and get on over to Cameron.
Apparently. Apparently all that's just been worked right on out, just like
we
that.
We just had a conversation. I mean, she's a talented woman, smart.
Yeah. The Packer and Durham Podcast.